So she looks like 45 lines pretty comfortable. What about it's another turn?
45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45, 45,
45:1, don't you?
Yep.
Okay, and remembering that maybe one or two races might vary a little bit, but we don't have a fractional variant for that day. So more data says 45. What did we just say, 45:1? Okay. What about herd regency?
46:2.
That's not a typical race.
Well, I would say in the kind of condition she's in these days, it's got to be somewhere around 46, don't you?
Yeah.
I heard also the Golden Gate is much faster than Highway Park. What about Charm Run?
45:2, maybe 2.
I'm willing to accept anything, whatever.
45:2, maybe 3.
But I've heard a number of things. 45:2, 45:4. Of course it is, but we're going to have to do that if we can't analyze the pen.
45:4.
All right, her last race, she goes 45, roughly 45:4 at 6.5, which is about a length faster than 6. She also had a ton left, probably, which she won't. She'll have to go faster than that, probably, in here, maybe not. Her previous race in 44:1, that was that same race that Humasov was in, that they went 44:1, which tells you that that fraction was probably a little bogus. Because Humasov couldn't back that fraction up anywhere, either. All right, so don't spend a lot of time with that particular number.
Only 3
lengths
off at 44:1
Saturday either. If you compensate for that, then you make it 45. Oh, she was 40. She was, okay, back beyond that. All right, 44:1. So she goes 44:4 in that race, which is about a 45:1 if you project that to Hollywood Park.
And that last race was first off a layoff, so she might not have been passed out of the race. Sometimes they go out fast and sometimes they don't.
All right. I'm still listening. I'm willing to go wherever you want to go.
She'd probably be about 3.5 lengths behind whoever got the lead.
That's a good point.
As opposed to exact time.
That's a good
point. Yeah, that's a good point.
Can we put down 45:3 for her?
Yeah.
That's 3 lengths behind 4.
Okay. And it's also faster than she ran last time. Again, to be 3.5 lengths behind, all she had to do was run 45:3.5 last time. Miss Tafai. And the only ones we're really going to be right on with are the ones that are going to have to go for the lead. Those we can get pretty close. Some of these others, it's a good point that Tom made. She would like to be 3 lengths behind, right? So if we project the pace at 45, her pace is probably going to be 45. She's a victim of her running style. What about Miss Tafai?
45:2.
All right. Okay, we can, let me hear this one more time.
45:2.
I said 45:1.
She's got a 45:2. Forget the 1987 races and deal with this year.
45:2.
Her first race off the layoff, she runs 45:2 and just hammers the field, right? Which meant she was probably running well within herself. Her next race, she goes 45 at a one-turn mile. Now, what did we do to that one-turn mile to make that equivalent to the sprint?
Yeah.
We added the tick, right? Or a length. I don't want to say tick, power to get the end. We added a length to that, right? Now that makes that a 45:1 for her. Now what about our last race?
45:1.
That's a 45:1 too, right? Now I agree, wait a minute, I agree that 45:2 is her optimal pace. But I also say that she's early, because we all agreed to that. And her last two, she's had to go 45:1. One of which she went ahead and won, and her last one she had to do in the sprint and backed up badly. What is she going to want to do in here?
Go to the lead.
All right, she's shown that she can go 45:1 if she's asked. We have a horse going 45. No reason to put her at 45:2 if we called it early. Apparently her best is about 45:1. Now, if she all of a sudden turns into a presser for us, then she kind of defeats us. But we get defeated all the time, so it's no big deal.
So you got a 45 one, you got Fortunate Barb at 45, and is a heavy favorite. And you got several horses taking behind it. You got Miss Topline, It's Another Turn, Hummusaw. And just behind them, you have Charmed One, and then Her Regency. Let's pick some pace lines. What about Gold Seal? Well, I ask you this. What other line are you going to take besides the line?
Do we have to take a line on Gold Seal?
Well, I don't know. Does anybody want Gold Seal in this race? Should I ask the question?
No.
Okay, I don't either. Okay, just disadvantaged by that inside and all the other things that we talked about. So we'll get rid of Gold Seal. Just throw out Gary Stevens. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What about Fortunate Barber?
Last class.
Okay, you're almost always safe with the last bit. What about Hummus On? Well, because Gold Seal, if you don't use the last race, you have nothing for her. Hummus On, if you throw out the last race, you still have several races for her. She's in good form. Gold Seal is just not even contending. I mean, she's running last into the strap.
Somebody said
if you threw out the other one, why not throw her out?
Oh.
Okay, that was that question.
Alright.
Let's talk about the last race for a minute. Who wants to use the last race? Okay, who wants to use the second race bet?
Second race bet.
Okay, we'll go that way. I really don't have a preference in here. The one thing I can offer a pro and a con, the pro to using the last race is that it summarizes your current form. And if she did lug in, that's not a great sign here. Okay. The other side of that coin, though, is that anytime you pop a horse into a race that has a runaway, powerful winner, they all get straggled by. So what? Well, my Armis Brooks, or whatever her name is, is a monster. She is really good.
She did it off the mail. Too.
She did it off, she did it last year. That's the second time in a row she's run a race like that. A year apart. She won by 8.5. She hit the stretch with those horses and just took off like a shot, right? How hard do you think you're pushing this horse then to stay with her once she's drawn away with every step?
That's why I picked the next race.
109.3 for this.
It's an unfair race.
Tell you the story.
But they pushed her hard enough to keep her in there where she was only a length and a half back. After 5/8, what I'm saying is that
what do you suppose represents if this race is run in the park, 110 and 1? Mm-hmm. Which race do you want for Hummusaw? You want the race that she was hopelessly beaten in 111 and 1?
No. On that basis, with Fortunate Barber at around 110, 110, 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Second line back, probably. 110-2 for Hummusaw, 45-1, that's what we said, yeah, the second line back.
The caution on using the second line back is the lugging out in her last race. Yeah. That's the caution. Sure. The logic in using the second line back, I think, outweighs that caution. You just have to consider that when you do it. Because I'll make that point again, once a really strong horse runs away from the field, the rest of them are just not even being hustled. So we're beating lengths. I mean, if you put 8.5 in, that's not representative. If she was beaten by 4 or 5, that might be different. So,
don't you think she would be in hustle with Gold Seal?
I doubt it.
As well as third instead of second in that one.
How long would you go to the races?
Responding to the question.
All right, you asked. Okay.
But I'm looking here, Gold Seal was second by 8. She was third by 8.5 as far as leading or having a stretch call. So she couldn't maintain second first money on the stall.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking she was trying. They were trying with her. I mean, she was being exercised, but I would think the jockey, if he was that close, would try to have second money.
Okay, I'm going
to
ask the group. How many times do you suppose that Pedrosa hit Hum and Song in the last 8th of a month?
Not at all.
Maybe once or twice.
No. No.
Okay, how, yeah, I mean...
Unless he has a reputation of cruelty.
Watch a lot, that's right, watch a lot of races, and when a winner is clearly decided, watch the horse that has just been badly beaten, the other one's drawn away.
Put it like this, back on the horse, he did hit her.
That's right, he didn't punish her, he wouldn't be back, that's the point. Nevertheless, yes.
In terms of 8.5, I mean, what I'm saying, in terms of the beaten lengths in relationship with Gold Seal, if you throw out all the other horses, and it's just those two horses that ran that race, Gold Seal loses, Hummersong is the winner. Hummersong was closer to the pace, actually was doing the running, and it just got beat by a better horse. If it was a match race, it would have ran off and left Gold Seal.
You could have my wallet on Hummersong if it were a match race between Hummersong and Gold Seal. Now the second race, like I said, you're excusing a race in which a horse lugged in. Hopefully it's not going to come back and hurt us. But the last race is just not a good choice on the baseline. It's another turn.
Second leg, you bet.
Who cares? Who wants what pace line?
Second back.
Who wants the horse?
I think that the horse is live.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the indications of current form, especially in California, is the ability to accelerate on the turn. Okay, now this horse is coming off of a layoff and probably is a little short. The race is run in 23 and 3 around the turn. This horse in that against the 23 and 3 gains nearly 4 lengths around the turn. Now that makes her go around the turn in a little over 22 and 4. Now that is accelerating. And then she ran a bit out of gas. But I'll tell you something else. The winner of that race was 6 lengths clear of the field. So that means after she made the move, the only horse she really lost to, by any extensive amount, was Flying Countess.
The horse that was second in the stakes.
Thank you. Little Barfly was also in there, the second place horse, so that was a good race. Grandpa's Kelly is no slouch.
You're absolutely right. This horse is not all that bad. To penalize her for her last race off of a 6-month layoff and 5-month layoff, in which she actually ran very well internally in the race, is asking too much. Now, if you have a true variant, it might make her look halfway decent, but it still won't give her full credit. If you're using any of the automatic adjustment programs, it's going to kill her because she's beaten 7 lengths. Okay? So, think this through a little bit. You got a 6-length runaway winner. You have a horse that went 22-4 run a turn off of a layoff. This is a good trainer if you want to add that to it. What might be representative? If she's halfway sharp now, she's going to improve off of her last race. What race do you want to use now? Unless we go down and use a 2-year-old here. Yeah, I wouldn't penalize her with the last race because it showed enough to indicate that she might run well. What about her Regency? How many of you want to use her as a contender? Well, she was once a nice horse, too.
Yeah.
Who wants to use her as a contender?
46?
No.
She's coming back off the layoff, too, of that last race.
She is that.
But how good it was. Why did they move a horse, a Southern California horse, to Northern California for one race? Ease of competition?
Gonna pay bills?
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but this horse is listed with this Steve Speck. Mm-hmm. Previously, the horse was with Bruce Headley. And Bruce Headley, a lot of the horses he had, he's been running up north, including Variety Road.
Yeah.
And this trainer could still be listed as the trainer because he had her when she was up north. But Headley has sent a number of his horses to recondition up north. Okay. And that's why up there, because it's a softer competition.
So you got to go back a long way to get her in the hunt, though.
All right. Now, what if we look it up and see that Golden Gate race was run way beyond par? Okay. Remember, we're not dealing with just automatic variants here. We're trying to deal with true variants, whatever the speed of the track might have been.
Yeah, but you got one race this year, two races.
I agree. Jim, all I'm trying to do is get us all through the process. I agree with you. She's probably, she's nowhere near the horse she was when she was running down here earlier. But what if that race is exceedingly good, Jim?
Engineering.
then you would use it. Who's got a variant for Northern California? June 16th at the age race. Let me tell you what her race really comes to. That particular race comes to about a 110 and 4. Okay, at a lesser racetrack. Today the par is 110 and 1. Does anybody want to keep the horse now?
No.
Okay. What about Charm One? What race do you want to use? You got it. What about Miss Top Eye?
Mixed Boys.
Okay, do you really want Miss Top Eye?
Yeah, Magnus Brooks ran away with everybody.
That's right.
You might want to.
You might want to get on the nerve of your company.
Is anybody that thinking to run to a pace of 109.3 today in this race?
She'll last for a half.
Why did she was at a pace this day? Did we work with Barbara?
Yeah. There's some point. First of all, one of the comparisons is a horse to horse here. Which one of the two horses that was sent for the lead last time? Humbison and Miss Top Eye, which one of them put away who? Who put away who?
Humbison.
Before they were at the eighth bowl, this one was through. Okay. That was her first race at this class level. Okay. Her previous race, the only race you're really going to be able to use, I think, here is the third race back. And I'm willing to use that race.
That's the one.
Maybe, but you're going to have to make a class adjustment then, aren't you?
Not using a regular variant.
Oh, okay.
The only way you have to make a class variant is using an automatic variant.
Okay.
Okay. You want to use the third race back?
Third race
if
back.
You're going to put her in, yeah.
Okay. Now, that race is 110 and 3. Mm-hmm. What's the par today?
110
All right. She's got a pace disadvantage, probably a class disadvantage, and the race she did win is two lengths below or over the par. Now let's line up for Miss Top Eye again. Who wants her? And she could, she'd be a piece of this pace probably. But if she comes home in 25 and 3 or so against this field after not getting the lead, she won't be anywhere. And if she tries to lead, she'll come home in 27 from it.
She needs a clear lead, and she ain't going to get it.
Well, so far, she seems to be
yeah,
there.
Right.
We need her in the computer to see if she's going to push Fortune and Barbara to the
We got Hamasong pushing Fortune and Barbara.
That's good.
All
right. I'm still willing to go wherever I know where I want to go in here. I just want to make sure we all go together. That's the reason I don't want you jumping ahead too far. I'd like everyone to get there because tomorrow or the next day when you handicap, we're not going through it in a group process.
Well,
I
wanted to bring it only makes five horses that would keep those.
What I wanted to bring up was the fact that since she has run against the pace 1.98 and it didn't figure to be 1.93 today, if you wanted to see if she fit, you would look at another race. And now we've looked at another race and seen that that race does not match up. Now we can begin of doing the process like you said, we're going to do it one step at a time.
Sure. How many people want this top line this race?
I got a question for you. I have no problem with where you're at, but we're not considering the fact that 1.10.3 we got a 21 variant.
That's true.
That 13 variant last time
still came in. Okay.
The 45 and 2 is kind of a kicker on that.
It doesn't have much to do with the half mile time.
11.6.
I tend to want to eliminate her, but do we care that she's probably going to improve off that race? She's back in 16 days.
All right.
It's a 58.4
over. Let me kill this once and for all. The track that particular day was fast one.
Well, I got rid of the other thing.
Okay. So the 21 variant probably says there were a lot of two-turn races on that car because they averaged the two, and that's why it runs up high on the day they put it fast. All right. It's a great race for maiden 50. It's not a great race for Melody's 2.
Well, a good question, because we wouldn't, some people don't have access to.
You're right, it's a good question. But the fractions are still 45-2 that game. Yeah, she's facing 45 here.
Okay. If you bounce up to the second baseline back on a one-turn mile, if you go 45-1, which we're looking for to do today, and 110-1, then kind of puts her back in the park.
Okay, it's right. But remember, I also mentioned that those internal fractions are as slippery as you're going to find. We look for more reasons than just that race to get Trusty Davis. Okay, we look at other things to make sure that he could do that. Her indication is a 45-2 is about the best she's going to make, because when she tried to go 45-1, Hummasong just put her away, and she didn't go until the last eight. This horse was gone before they hit the eight. But I'll look that up for you.
But didn't you say that they could go 45-1?
Those are legitimate numbers.
45-1.
How do you handle the
board
horses?
Like a 5 out of 15.
Let's not do that. Let's not do it anyway. Let's stay with this top line until we're all together. That this horse is either going to stay with us or go out.
All right.
Hold this on. Race does not. First, whether you keep her or not, this race does not match up well for her. It does not. Okay. She's lightly raced, so maybe she's better than she's shown you so far. But the race does not match up well for her. Now, you tell me where you want to go.
Out.
Anybody still want her in? Okay. Well, you may have just thrown out the winner. I'm not sure. Hell no. All right. Let's go for baselines.
We very good.
Sorry, adjustments. May 28th to the 7th. Adjustments. What? January 10th and the 3rd. This is it. It's another turn. -0.15. Yep. May 29th and the 6th. +0.20. That's Hummasong. Fortunate Barbara, June 4th and the 7th. That's a 0. You want to run through, Bill? As that foreign horse is concerned, you just in a sprint. Yeah, I know, but you just automatically. Because 99 out of 100 times when they bring those European horses over here and put them on the dirt against these horses, these horses are gone before they ever hit the gear. Just not. They just don't see this kind of speed.
Talking about routes.
You're talking about different. We had one yesterday, but we did that way. We just threw it out.
You gonna cheat?
Oh, sure. Not cheating. We'll find out. Not this one.
Yeah.
read these names on the board?
There's only four of them.
I have done the beam one.
He is good though. He is really good. I think he has come back, but this may be asking him to do more than he's ever three or did. No problem. I just don't want to jump ahead too much. Because I want everybody to witness.
Yeah. Yep. If not, it's on there. This is Bob's recorder. I went and looked at
Is this your new
So he ran into court, I need to sit and say hello. All right. I have results of the third race.
Balloon. Can you make a call like the guy does on the radio?
There you go. Basically, it goes to the lead. Success Express and No Commitment are second. That's the way we predict it, right? The only problem with Bologna is that he can only be have a silver bullet up there. He's really a negative. Basic rate won't matter what. We have horses at 44-1, 44-2, 44-2. The 44-1 wins it. One of the 44-2s, No Commitment, ran second. And Crown Pleasure, who probably needed the race badly, ran third. That was the inside.
Basic rate won.
Basic rate won. Where do I? Pardon?
Do you know what it paid?
You did? Basic rate
$5.
$5.40.
Yeah.
Basically, No Commitment. And third was Crown Pleasure. Pardon?
Time to quit.
Time to quit. Well, we didn't pass that race, all
right? Oh, dear.
But the right horse with the early race advantage, with a possible class disadvantage, which no longer exists, is basic rate.
What did he pay?
$5.
That's also small.
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
Now, in relationship to the last line and the 25-4 last quarter, I think Doc says last quarter mile, the horse has to close in a sprint, something like 2-1, and where it is behind at the second call. What I'm saying is that this horse got away with 25-1. We don't know what the fractions were. Do we know what the fractions were in the race?
No, it's a bit of a But you can count on it being somewhere in this ballpark, because no one's willing to coach.
So even with 25-4, you're saying he staggered home. I mean, he was able to get to the front.
Wait a minute now. Staggered home might not be the right word. Look at the main contender. You got a horse at 44-1, right?
Right.
You have two 44-2s,
right.
And in both cases, we stretched a little to make them 44-2s.
Right.
Okay, they may be 44-3s. In any case, you have a speed of the speed situation, right?
Right.
Okay, in both of the other horses, we called them earlies.
Exactly.
All right, which says that the other early horses that can't get the lead from one of the leaders are not playable to win.
Exactly.
All right. The one of the horses that is still playable to win is the early base horse with the big E that can be the E.
Right.
Okay. So the other two, he may not have had the stagger on. There's no closer in the race, remember?
Mm-hmm.
There was not a closer. We had a couple of possible pressers. We had maybe Belodi, but here's a horse that beat Have a Silver Bullet a couple of races back. And that one, that one endearing to you. Dr. Grant, who was 355 lengths or so back coming into the stretch, we all agree that that's too far back.
Too far back.
The possibility was Crown Pleasure, who probably needed the race and was stuck on the inside. So he may not have staggered home at all. Everybody else might have staggered home behind him. Maybe he was staggering, but no one else was coming. Okay. But its speed of the speed is always dangerous. That's the reason we go through all of this. identifying all the E's, and that's why you got to be careful when you identify an E to make sure it's not an EP, because if you call it an E and it can't get the lead,
right,
it's a goner.
Right.
But if you call it an EP and it can't get the lead, it's still a very possible winner. Right. So you got to be careful on that designation. You can't do it, you can't be cavalier about it and just say, he looks like an EP to me. Try to be as exact as you can, because what will happen is when you separate this race for a bet, your EP will slide, will reach up and bite you right in your table. Now in this race, the energy number that we put down over here, any horse, does any horse not fit the energy number?
Charm
one is pushing the bottom side, right?
But it's there.
It is basically in the ballpark. Pushing the bottom side a little bit. But nobody's eliminated as a result of energy. Nobody's way too high or way too low here. Alright? Who has the pace advantage in the race?
Fortune of Barber.
Hamasong, who has the best turn time in the race?
Hamasong.
Okay, and without a bad first fraction, too. The first fraction is pretty decent.
Yeah.
Which says that when the race opens, Fortune of Barber, who's stuck in a tooth post, has got to be hustled to the lead. She has a one-length advantage at the half, right? But she has a sizable advantage at the quarter. Now, if she comes out clearly, she has the opportunity to get off the rail. But she's got a full foot per second to the corner. That's two full lengths.
Hamasong's in the three hole, which you said is pretty bad also.
It is. But that's not what we're doing right now. We're talking about the pace horse that we're all running. Everybody runs against Fortune of Barber in this race because that's the reason we did it all. Fortune of Barber is the pace horse. On a track that favors the horses that are on the lead and well close to the lead. So Fortune of Barber has over a foot per second at the quarter. That's a sizable lead. If she wants off the rail, she can probably get off the rail. The acceleration of the second fraction belongs to Hamasong, and it's another turn. Of all of those horses, who figures to keep going? Okay, although this is not a stopper. Okay, but you're right, Hamasong. If you play these two horses, you're disadvantaged by having the inside. If you play these two horses, you're disadvantaged by playing against two horses that look much better on paper. Okay, this is the reason I pass a lot of races. Okay, I'm willing to play this one. We'll step out of this one, okay, as a group. Who's your first horse, folks? How many people want Fortune of Barber? She looks like the horse to beat, even though she's stuck down inside. She looks like the horse because she's clear early, and if she gets clear early, she can probably get away from that bad inside, and then she's going to be really tough. Who do you want as your second horse? Who wants Hamasong as your second horse?
Looks like it's going to be a price, too.
Who, Hamasong?
Yeah. Nobody likes it.
All right, this is not an overwhelming show of support for Hamasong, which is okay. She lucked out last time. We had to excuse the fact that she didn't. I think it was a reasonable excuse. We had to excuse the fact that she was beaten 8 lengths in her last race. But again, it was a monster horse she got beaten. For what's the use? It's another turn as your second horse. All right, there's a show of support in here. Charm the one as your second horse. Okay, you don't like what you're right. Just write them down. Write your two horses down. We'll see where you go. Well, I got to tell you again, in this race, This race, like the second race, favors a three-year-old. And you have two of these four horses are three-year-olds. You got one of them that's doing nothing wrong, Fortune of Barber. She has some gait problems, though. She's done nothing really wrong. She's a three-year-old. And you got It's Another Turn, who's also a three-year-old, that showed a definite signs of life last night. Charm one, for those of you that decided on Charm One, she gets the advantage of the outside post, but she's also been around a while. Now, she's raced 16 times, she's an older horse, she's won two of them, run second twice. This is not the ideal kind of horse you want in this number. And we left out Miss Topeye. If anybody wants to add her back as your second horse, she does get the outside post.
Who are you selecting?
Who do I lean to? Oh, can't you guess that?
It's another turn, I think. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's why. Okay.
I lean toward Fortune of Barbara, and it's another turn.
Right.
And I play, and my play is normally within the safety net of the probabilities, and the probabilities are in the favor of those 2 3-year-olds. And that's generally where I play. And if I take a beating, that's all right. You know, we'll do it again. Yeah. Plus, you have support here.
I'm sorry. That's another turn. Be a prize.
And it's another turn. I'll be a prize, yeah. Fortune of Barbara looks tough because this kind of an advantage. When you look at your readouts, please don't let this thing escape you. When you look at your printer, when you start comparing Fortune of Barbara with Hummusong, with It's Another Turn, with Charmed One, don't let the 1.2 advantage escape your mind. That's a monster gun.
Tom, and it's also linked to the fact that she didn't. She had a pretty decent second fraction along with her.
Absolutely, she continues to improve it. Yeah, she's not losing. See, this 0.5 difference is not very much around the turn.
Right.
So she's not stopping around the turn, and when she hits, if she comes out smoothly, when she hits the stretch, resources are all going to have to come after.
I don't think I flat test this race. I think I
But I caution you, when you go over your charts and look at that inside, anti-inside bias, that you'll see a lot of horses that were 6-5, 7-5, 8-5, that look good enough to eat, that wind up off the board from the inside.
Even
with the advantage. I'm willing to buy into this one because her advantage is significant in the quarter. But what's happening is that a lot of that advantage is being eaten up right out of the gate. Okay?
You got to remember that just because you know about the inside bias doesn't mean that who's his name, the Karen does. No, really, a dead rail is counterintuitive for a jockey because the rail is the short way around, and for years and years, the play has been get to the rail. And that's 99 out of 100 races, that's the correct move for every jockey to make. Same ground around the corner.
Well, maybe, maybe not.
You know where the studies read that. But,
Let's go with the fifth race. Okay, now this race, where in some of the earlier races, class would stop an overriding consideration, and this race it is. All of these horses have been around for a little while. They've had a chance to establish how good they are or how good they're going to be. So when you start looking at this race, if you're going to bet against Penn Valady and Chapel of Dreams, make sure you're not doing it with some horse that's been locked into wild races all the time. This is a class consideration in this particular race. This is where you can be very flexible with your pace line selections because these are very good horses. Can we start by saying Penn Valady and Chapel of Dreams are absolutely two contenders in the field? Please say that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll work from there. All right. Let me ask you, is Munchkin Michelle a serious threat in this field?
No.
Anybody in favor of her? Okay. The killer for her, the way you kill her is, first of all, the race she did win was the state bred in Florida, which I guess isn't all that bad. But look at her last race. She's in here with Penn Valady and Fitzwilliam placing these horses, and she's 46-1 and is never a threat at any call. She's just not good. What about Fieldy? Fieldy is good enough. Yeah, Fieldy was second in the grade two against Anka Germania, who might be the best grass horse in the United States. Is Fieldy good enough to win a race like this?
Maybe.
question. It is a question, but it's very, very possible.
Why do you think the connection to this horse did not put it in any grade two or grade one races?
Because they probably think she's good enough to win here.
No, why didn't they, after that race back in Florida against Anchor Germain, why didn't they continue to put it into grade two or grade one races?
I have no idea. I just know that from February 14th to May 14th, she took some time off, came back in an overnight handicap. Then she ran in that grade three race at Belmont, and she's even money in there, even though she failed.
And they spent the money to ship her out here.
They got her last two workouts 2 days apart. She is really well met here.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be the judge a little bit later on. Conceivably, if she run a length and a half off of Anchor Germania, she is conceivably good enough to win here.